God is so good. The presence of God is so palpable. Does anybody else feel it tonight? And I usually don't cry during these things, but it's like been just the presence of God has been ministering, and I've been overwhelmed with His love and His grace. And the song that Steve played started off with, and yes, I am older than him, so add that to your jokes, Mark. So I'm just so surrounded by the love and the peace and the presence of God, and I'd like to share a little bit about my growth in the Spirit, my faith journey. As you continue to grow, the Lord is going to meet every single one of your needs and prayers. I got an answer to prayer that's unfolding tonight, just as a way to honor and glorify God. We're going to dismiss the kids in 1 second. We're going to show a little video clip, but I want to share to start off how God has answered a prayer just in the last 15 minutes. Been extremely anxious and worried with health issues. So I didn't even know if I could be here. So we're in a prayer meeting upstairs, and there was a scripture verse that was exactly ones that I used to read all the time and would lean on. So it was God's gift to me, and it was very simply, Philippians 4:6. Have no anxiety at all, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. In Romans 8:38, for I am convinced that neither life nor death, nor powers, nor principalities, nor the present darkness will come between me and the love of God. So that was God's word to me to start the night off with. I've just been trusting in that. And I want to show you a little video clip that kind of echoes that theme of nothing will separate us from the love of God.
Going back means I'll have to face my past. If been running from it for so long.
Ow! Jeez! What was that for?
It just hurt my top. You changed your posh?
Yeah, but it still hurts.
Oh, yes, the past can hurt.
But the way I see it, you can either run from it or learn from it.
Ah! You see? So what are you going to do?
First, I'm going to take your stick.
No, no, no! Let us keep...
Stay for just a second, because Simba was looking for his identity to find out who he was. And Simba is a reflection of God's love. And we are all, after having been prayed with last week, moved by that wind of change. Our life is changing, it's going forward, but we need to remember who we are. So, those of you young ones who are going up with Miss Sue, you may go now. So, I went through this seminar, I think 20, 25 years ago, and when I prayed the prayer that you guys prayed last week, that Jesus, I now know that I am yours and you are mine forever, it reminded me of that whole struggle of identity that I had struggling with growing up. And I remember after being prayed with, I couldn't articulate it, but I knew that something was different and that I belonged. For the first time, I belonged. And I began to realize that who I belonged to was Christ. And that I was a beloved child of God. And it was an interesting thing for me to grow into being, feeling loved and feeling accepted and that I belonged and that I was loved. My family wasn't Christian. I wasn't baptized until I was 19 years old. I accidentally, that's a different story in and of itself, got a scholarship to Thomas More. It was accidental, really, seriously. And they were going to offer it to a friend of mine, but they called me by mistake. And then 2 weeks later, they said, whoops, we made a mistake, but we were looking at your records, and we'll take you too. And I'm like, I didn't even apply. I didn't even have any. So anyway, you know, God has been providing for me and helping me to know that I am belonging and that I am a reflection of God. I didn't know that. I didn't know it for a long time. And there was a void and a pain that has been healed through growth in the Spirit, and it's been very gradual. Just by a show of hands, from prayer last week, how many of you had a pretty powerful, tangible prayer experience last week where there was some significant change or growth? Or how many of you received a gift or two that you can articulate? Okay. How many of you had a sense of peace of being prayed with? Okay, awesome. Now, be honest, because this was me 20 years ago. How many of you felt a little disappointed, like there was a big build-up, and there wasn't a lot? Okay, me, that was me. I felt like a failure because everybody else was getting these gifts and doing all these charismatic things, and I'm slow, and I thought I was another failure there again. And so if you felt like that or in those shoes, you are in good company. It's okay. It is totally okay. One of the themes from this talk about growth is that faith is not a feeling. It's a decision, as well as forgiveness. And so my feelings haven't always been yay, rah, rah, this bubbly, bubble over joy. I'm not that type of person. And I struggle. And people look at me and sometimes think it's easy. And one of the reasons why I'm so overwhelmed with tears is I have such a blessed life. Look at my husband. Just that alone. And my four kids, and I have worked in ministry. I just turned 50, so my first full-time youth ministry job, I was 20 years old. So that goes to show that the growth, when you say yes to God, how He empowers you and helps you. So back to the identity issue, I didn't know that I belonged to God. After I was prayed with, I started to realize that was my identity. I don't belong to a dysfunctional family. Okay, well, yeah, I did. And I wasn't defined by my mistakes, my failures, and more importantly, my parents' failures. So I began to grow. So the next part of the prayer that you prayed last week was, thank you for sending your spirit to me that I might have the power to live this new life with you. So you prayed that. And I watched that unfold in my life, the new life. So I was in my early 20s when I was married and prayed over. I became Catholic when I was 19. And this new identity had to replace, and that's what some of the movies said, you know, going back is sometimes painful. And I had to go back and heal some wounds that existed from my teenage years and from alcoholic parents and no faith formation. So I did not believe that I had a purpose in life. I did not believe that I was loved. And I, even when my wonderful husband chose me out of all the women in the entire world, there was a part of me that didn't feel worthy or lovable. And I wanted that feeling, but I didn't have it. But it came gradually. So the new life, the new identity over being prayed with and being healed, and I have been to countless healing masses. I've had people pray over me. I've gone through healing of memories, inner healing prayer. So if something in your heart tonight is saying, gosh, I want to find out more about that. It is present, and it is so present in the charismatic community, that those are some beautiful ways to grow. And this, my new life, interestingly, kind of started when my husband was in, we were married a year, almost 2 years, and he went into Operation Desert Storm. And he was my savior, my rock, my hero, this great Catholic man. I was a new baby in the faith. And he went overseas in the first wave of the wars that hit, was it 90-ish? So I was pissed that he left. I was crushed. I was devastated for myself. Not to mention I was scared for him. That he was more to me probably than he should have been. He was like God to me, and I really leaned on him. And when I went through the seminar a couple of years before he left, I remember, like I said, I'm slow. And it took a while for things that I felt to manifest as far as spiritual gifts. So when he left, I remember being so despondent and desperate and in deep depression. I went to a charismatic retreat and they offered healing prayer. And of course, I'm like, yes, So if you've not been prayed over by healing team, it's pretty similar to what it was last week when we were prayed over. They had prayer teams all lined up the front by the plug for First Friday healing masses. You've had an opportunity to pray this. So there were probably hundreds of people in the room and maybe 10, 15 prayer teams. And basically you just come up and stand in front of them and say, this is what I want to pray for. They lay their hands over you and pray over you. Well, so I went up and I said, my husband's in a war and I'm very depressed, and can you pray for me, and both of us? And so they prayed, and me, the slow learner, nothing. I felt worse. I went and sat down, and I'm sitting there, and I hear the voice of God say, go back up in prayer. And I'm like, great. Like, failure again written all over my face. I'm like, I am not doing that. I'm arguing with God. And God's like, I want you to go back up for prayer. So what I did is I went to the back of the room and went all the way around to a different prayer team so no one could see I'm that much of a failure that I have to pray for twice. So but here's what happened, though. This the priest was praying. I began to, like, spew out what I wanted. Well, I was telling God, you know, with him, what to do. And he put his hand on my mouth, and he basically said, shut up, lady. But he said that. He put his hand on my mouth, like to say, be quiet. And then he laid his hand on me, and he said, you've believed a lie of the evil one. That you don't love yourself, that you're not lovable. I'm like, whoa, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. And it went straight to my heart, and all of a sudden I felt this warm gush of love and healing flow from the top of my head to the tips of my toes. And then there's an experience called resting in the spirit. If you've not experienced it, it's a very peaceful being, just spending, it's almost, if you're not fainted, but it may look like on the outside, but it's just a way that God ministers and heals. And so I thought, okay, I believe the lie of the evil one. And so he named that truth. It was a word of knowledge. So that's a charismatic gift that when people pray with each other, a lot of people have that. So fast forward ahead. So I began to be healed. And God begins to give me a new identity in him and replace the old stuff. And then, so I'm coming, driving home and from the retreat, it's in Owensboro, and I stop at a friend's house in Louisville and spend the night. And still, though, I'm just racked with anxiety, and I can't sleep. And I open up my Bible, and I'm just kind of crying out to God, God, please, please, just heal this, help me. And randomly, I open up my Bible to John chapter 16, and Jesus is talking about his departure. John 16, verse 5 and 6. And he's counseling the disciples and saying, I'm going to leave you, but don't worry, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit that will be an advocate, a comforter. And it hit me, oh, Lord, you let my husband leave and go in a war, and now who do I have better than him? I have the Holy Spirit. And it was just like, oh, that is. And then a few verses over, it says, I have called you friend. I heard God say that you are my friend, and you, I've given you the Holy Spirit. I burst out into praying in tongues at that point. And laying in bed with my Bible, reading those words, the first time I received that gift. And I again, it was just like when the time was right and when my heart was open, and I needed that. So I've had, you know, being resting in the spirit, wisdom, knowledge, the gift of tongues, all to build me up and build my faith. So in the meantime, a couple of other things begin to happen. The prayer that you prayed, stir up your spirit in me, release your spirit in me, baptize me with the fullness of your spirit that I may experience your presence and power in my life. So the power, the personal healing was coming, and God evidently saw something in me that, because he can use the weak. And he, and I was so ignorant. I was such, I grew up in a non-Christian family, went to Thomas More by accident, became Catholic, and St. Paul Church hired me before I was 21 years old to be their youth minister. That makes no sense. I remember trying to pray a rosary and all the kids, this was like 30 years ago, we were like reading the instructions and trying to figure it out. Oh my gosh, we were such babies. Being a baby and a child is so good though, because the power and the gifts started stirring up. So we had no idea what we were doing. And so what do? We pray. And it was so amazing what began to come forth from our prayer. Our youth group started to be somewhat charismatic. And we would get these teachings, and we would pray with people. We would experience inner and healings, and sometimes physical healings, and people learn how to play music and praise and worship within weeks, and we went from like 20 kids to 200 in a matter of a couple of weeks. And there was this reading that my husband, and when he was in the Gulf and I was here, we both got the scripture readings about Ephesians 6:10. We did it 2 weeks ago to put on the full armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, shield of faith, sword of the spirit. And God told us both, he was in a war and I was in Florence, to use that scripture to teach people, young people, how to live and how to pray and how to live in this world and wear the armor of God. We began to share that when he got home, and we're like, God, what are you doing? Fast forward ahead to this prayer. There were 5 or 6 of us, we would meet and just pray. We were babies. And here's another gift of the Spirit that began to be manifest, and the lady who got this had no, she had another spiritual gift. So she wrote this prayer on the bottom of her Bible, and it was a total gift from God. She didn't even know she was writing it. But this became our theme for the next 20, 25 years. And the Lord gave this to us in prayer. O Lord my God, light in my life, that guides me in the darkness. Keep me clothed in the armor you gave me, so that I'm ready to stand and fight in your name. Let me always speak truth. Put the word of God on my tongue and in my heart. Let me be your messenger, so I may spread the good news of salvation. Keep my faith in you strong. So God gave that, not to an individual human being, but to a group of people to be their guide. And we lived that, prayed it, and it was who we were. And as time went on, I began to experience different spiritual gifts and growth. Now, so a couple of other examples I wanted to share with you. You pray that you may find new meaning in scriptures. Well, after being prayed with, and this came gradually, although it wasn't as gradual now that I look back, I began to have the desire to spend an hour in scripture every day. Oh man, I thought the Bible was so boring, I didn't understand it, but after being prayed with, Scripture began to take on all new meaning. Be careful what you pray for. Here's a cute little story. Fast forward ahead. 5 years go by. I'm pregnant with our first child. Violently, like sick, bedridden sick. It was so bad. And I remember just turning my head and it would make me sick. And so I had made a commitment to go to daily mass and to pray an hour in scripture, but I couldn't do it anymore. I was so sick. Kind of reminds me of like what I've been feeling like lately. And I heard God say, get up out of bed, quit feeling sorry for yourself, and go to your prayer table and pray. And I was just like, I can't. I feel too sick. I'm too cold. It's like when you have the flu and you just can't. And I heard, get up and do it now. And so I did. And I was sitting there at my kitchen table feeling horrible. And I heard the number 41. 41, 41. I'm like, 41? What is that, God? So I opened up my Bible to Psalm 41. And the title of that psalm is Thanksgiving After Sickness. So I'm like, oh, Lord, you're so good. Thank you. Within a few weeks, I was pulling out of the sickness, and it was hope to me and encouragement. I was also learning how to pray scripture through a prayer group called Moms in Touch. It was a group of 5 or 6 women who met at St. Paul. They were in the grade school parents, and we learned to get together and use scripture verses and pray them for our children, for our school, for our principals, whatever need was going on. And Isaiah says that God's word does not return void. So when you pray God's word, you pray it into existence for specific individuals. So I learned how to do that. That group was together for 4 or 5 years. There are all sorts of growth opportunities with different prayer groups. I belong to St. Paul's Charismatic Prayer Group on Monday night for many, many years. How many of you belong to a prayer group? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you belong to a Bible study that's more specifically geared to a Bible study? Okay. How many of you participate in service, either ongoing or... Okay. All right, so it seemed to be that I always have needed to be in a prayer group, Bible study for accountability, to learn, to grow. And here's the other theme, that I'm teaching social justice right now. I'm a high school religion teacher. And one of the most foreign concepts with the social justice class that is so hard for them to grasp, but it is so simple, is that God created us as social human beings. He created us to need each other. That's how he made us. And the opposite of love isn't hate. It's isolation. So when you withdraw your gifts and your needs. I've been doing that lately. I've been withdrawing because I don't feel good. And I don't feel like I'm functioning. I don't feel like I have anything to offer right now. So that's shame on me, because when I do that, I deprive you of the ability to help me and to pray for me. And so there have been plenty of opportunities where I've given to other people and they need the opportunity to give back. So God created us as social human beings that our gifts need to build on each other. We have a little family motto that says we may not have it all together, but together we have it all. So that is my strong goal and wish for you is to pray about what is God leading you to right now for growth in your spiritual life, whether it's through a charismatic prayer group, a Bible study, service, accountability. It could be praying as a family in a different way. Now, the interesting thing is, I just say that a couple of years ago, it's like, I don't know if God took it away, that he gave me a time to be more isolated and not do every prayer group. I have four kids and I work full time. So there comes a time when he's given you a lot of the resource that you need, and perhaps the best service that you can do yourself is to learn how to pray and listen to God alone, temporarily for short amounts of periods, where it's just you and him, and you're not relying on so much of the outside influence. And that could be a time in life where you may need to cut back, where you're doing, but perhaps you're not listening. You're not in your quiet place where you've been listening. So as you prayed last week, finding new meaning in the sacraments, finding delight in prayer, just wanted to share one or two more little encouraging prayer experiences. One of the ladies that prayed for me when I was a brand new Catholic was in a prayer group that I was in, and she was elderly. Her name was Sylvia, St. Paul's prayer group. This, I was so young and so naive, and you know that devil thing. The devil conversation scared me to death, and I had a dream one night that Sylvia came to me and said, "Angie, don't worry, the devil's after you, but it's okay. I'm protecting you and I'm praying for you." And I'm like, that scared me so bad, I couldn't even talk about it for a year. And that's exactly what God did. He put her in my life. I have a ton of Sylvia stories, just share one or two of them. When I had had several different miscarriages. And I remember we were at a regular Monday night prayer group. And there was a time during the sign of peace, and I wasn't feeling good, so I was just sitting in my chair, and she looked at me, and I looked at her. She did not know I was sitting in that chair, and I was breathing, but I was okay. I said, "Lord, I just want to know. I just want to meet this child." And that was all I said, a quick little prayer. The end of the prayer group, Sylvia looked at me and she said, "You know what, I didn't get over to give you the sign of peace, but I said a little prayer for you at that time." And then she said, "What I saw when I prayed was a beautiful baby boy." And I thought, oh my gosh, Sylvia just answered my prayer. I wanted to see the child that I had, and she told me this beautiful angel boy in heaven that she saw. We invited her to a housewarming or a party once we moved to bigger, and she brought as a gift this clown. And it had flowers in its hand, but those are long gone. So I thought, Sylvia, nice gift. And I'm thinking, not. I don't collect clowns. I don't collect anything. I have little kids. And I had a really small house. So I boxed this back up and put it on the shelf with all the other wedding presents that we didn't have room for, and put it in the basement. 5 years later, when we moved to a bigger house and we're unpacking all these things, Sylvia has since passed away. And I pulled this clown out, and I'm like, oh my gosh. I now remember the words that she gave me with this silly, stupid clown gift. She said, "Angie, it's okay to be a fool for Christ." And then there's three scriptures from Corinthians about how the wisdom of this world is foolishness, that the wisdom of God is salvation. And it's for us. The world gives you stuff that will perish. But be a fool for Christ. She's still teaching me and praying for me. So that's the gift of intercession and of prayer and of growth, of what we can do together in community and praying for each other. Is my time up, Mark? Yeah, okay. As we... as we end, one of our small group, a couple of our small group questions, we'll ask you to think about this growth, this wheel, this Christian life, where Christ is in the center, and to keep moving forward, is to intentionally think about where is the Lord calling you as far as being in prayer groups or being in maybe increasing your sacramental attendance and at Mass and other types of community events, and to make the commitment and verbalize what the Lord may be calling you to do. We have handouts where we have prayer groups in the area, and we're going to have a follow-up in 2 weeks where we're just going to get together and use the spiritual gifts and support each other and let those to be nurtured. So as we end, I would like to just end with a simple little prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the ways that you meet our every needs, whether it's in weakness, whether it's in strength, for the ways that you provide for us through our communities, through our prayer life, through the sacraments. Lord, I pray for each person here tonight that you place on their hearts just the tremendous amount of love and grace that you have for each person. Lord, we pray for anyone who is struggling with any fear, anxiety, or worry over the future, or maybe feeling inadequate. Help them to know, Lord, that your love is a gift. It may not be a feeling, but it's very present. And we continue to ask our Blessed Mother to be our mantle, to be our guide, as we pray. Hail Mary.
Oh, grace, the Lord is with thee.